Megabucks and others, you can scan the ticket or enter online to collect game symbols. Collect 6 game symbols on one card and you're entered for a chance to win over $50,000 in prizes. Go to VGLottery.com for more collect and win details. Please play responsibly.
All right, we're back. Let's give a nice warm radio Vermont welcome this morning to author James Carroll, whose most recent book is Christ Actually, the Son of God for the Secular Age. Mr. Carroll is a former priest who has written extensively about the Catholic religion and actually the institution, too. We're going to talk a little bit about that. He has also been quite a prolific author, a playwright. And his one of his most famous book, Constantine's Sword, and he's kind enough to join us live on the line this morning. Mr. Carroll, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Mark. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I was really interested in your piece that you wrote a few days back in the New York Times talking about Pope Francis, which was quite really something. You talk about Pope Francis. You say, it's easy to love Pope Francis for his resounding defense of the poor, his simplicity, his evident large heart. But the moral grandeur of his personal triumph throws into stark relief the continuing pettiness of the institution over which he presides, a pettiness that inevitably seeks to impose itself on him. What do you mean by that?
Well, the Catholic Church, like every institution, is a human and quite fallible community of people. And down through the centuries, there have been traditions and impulses that have shaped the Church in ways that clearly violate the spirit of the founder of our church, Jesus Christ. So the power structure, all male, obsessed with itself, very slow to deal, for example, with the crisis of the priestly sex abuse scandal, which itself was a signal that something was very wrong with the culture of the Catholic Church. And the church has been trying to reform itself. That's one of the things that's quite moving about it, really, for the last 50 years, the Catholic Church, especially with the Second Vatican Council in the early 60s, has been looking hard at what needs to change and bit by bit reckoning with profound changes has been the story of the Catholic Church in our time. And Pope Francis is the newest chapter of it. But it boils down, Mark, to a religious problem, which is the way in which Christianity defined itself against Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And my argument in this book is that once the Holocaust laid bare through Nazi anti-Semitism the real meaning of religious anti-Judaism in the Christian tradition, we Christians had to face the truth that something had gone wrong. You might say there's a bug in the software of Christianity going right back to the start. And that bug could be defined as the way we forgot that Jesus himself was a Jew, not a Christian, not a Gentile, a Jew, right until the day he died, an Orthodox believing Jew who did not proclaim a New Testament God of love against an Old Testament God of judgment, but the one God of Israel whose judgment comes as love. So recovering the full Jewishness of Jesus is the key to the reform we Christians have to complete.
Why? Why?
Well, if we can get over this negative-positive bipolarity, we defined ourselves as the church positively over against the negative of the synagogue, the New Testament over against the Old Testament, grace over against law, generosity over against greed. You see what's happening here? A basic positive-negative structure of the Christian imagination with Jews as the negative foil. We have to dismantle that structure, not just for religious reasons, but for political reasons, because this structure infected the way the West understood itself, Christendom, the culture of Europe, ultimately the culture of America. This positive-negative structure morphed into the positive-negative structure of white versus people of color, of the colonizers versus the colonized. Ultimately, the West against Islam. You see, the structure of positive-negative bipolarity, good versus evil, is basic to something that went wrong in the Western imagination. So that's why I'm insisting that this basically what apparently is an esoteric small problem for just Christians really belongs to the whole human species, really. We have to stop defining ourselves positively by defining somebody else negatively.
Wouldn't we do
and
that?
That habit of mind has been at the root of horrible wars and crimes.
Wouldn't that happen whether Jesus had existed or not? I mean, don't we just do that anyway?
Human beings have this, maybe it's built into the structure of our brains. You're right about that. But what's different in the Christian story is that we brought God into the picture. We thought that this was the will of God. We thought that God rejected the Jews and God condemned them. And therefore, Christians felt the right to join in that condemnation. It was when this negative, positive bipolarity of maybe a human impulse going back to prehistory or ancient tribal days, when it became understood in the West as the will of God. And that's what made it lethal. That's what made the religious wars, the Crusades, the religious wars of the Reformation, so terribly violent. Because when you kill in the name of God, no holes are barred, and there's a kind of merciless bloodletting. And we Christians have to examine how, in our own history, that defined what we did. And it will help us, for example, to be much less blind in our judgment about what's going on in the world of Islam today. We talk about the violence of jihadists as if it's unique in history and never happened before. It's not
right.
True.
Yeah.
In fact, we Christians have done very much the same thing in the past.
You're concerned that if we try to go after ISIS, you say it's a terrible group of people, but you say that going after them is going to actually provoke it and make it worse. What's the other option?
Well, we have to absolutely resist a jihadist movement like ISIS, the same as resisting Al-Qaeda. But we have to do it in a savvy and smart way. We don't want to play by their game plan, which is to get sucked into another savage war with them where we become the demon. When the United States of America can become equal to ISIS as their enemy, what we want to do is create a structure of diplomacy, economic pressure, and international cooperation, especially in the Middle East, that will squeeze ISIS and stop it. The worst thing we can do is meet ISIS on its own ground, play by their rules, start bombing, start using American military power again, in ways that will only enable them to recruit more jihadists to their cause and make the whole thing worse. Mark, we've been down this road before. We've been down it twice in the last 15 years with terrible consequences. We don't want to go down it again.
We're talking with James Carroll. He's the author of Christ, Actually the Son of God for the Secular Age. If I could just go back to Francis here for a minute.
Sure.
Do you consider him a reformer?
Yes, I do. Whether he would use that word for himself or not, because it's very clear that from the very first moment he became pope, he's been changing basic things in the Catholic Church. He refused to move into the pope's palace and lives in a simple two-room apartment in the guest house on the grounds of the Vatican. He refused to continue with the sort of highfalutin trappings of his office, got rid of the limousine, lives this very simple life, eats food with other people, mostly in a cafeteria, meets people where they are, refuses to continue the habit of denigrating other people as if they're less than we are. The classic example of that was his response when asked about gay people, and his response was to say, "Who am I to judge?"
Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying human beings need to treat each other with respect and mercy, not be focused on, quote, sin, unquote, but to be focused on the needs we all have to recover from the struggles of our life, to be together in all that. Pope Francis, just by the way he lives, by the name he took, the name of a saint devoted to peace, interreligious understanding, to the poor, to simplicity, just by the way he lives, washing the feet of prisoners, of women and Muslims. He is a profound reformer. And you can see that the church needs it, because you can see that people everywhere are so profoundly grateful for his arrival.
But you're worried about this, that he's somehow a threat to the institution?
Well, I welcome the way in which he threatens the things in the institution that need to be changed, but I'm not naive. He's up against what I call the iron triangle of Roman Catholicism, which is bureaucracy, dogma, and male power. Can he survive the pressures of the pushback that I'm sure is already at work? He's trying to reform the finances of the Vatican, which have been corrupted over the decades, and in cahoots with elements even of the mafia, for goodness sake. So there are powerful forces that don't welcome what Pope Francis represents. But the power of his simple witness seems to be changing things quite dramatically. I'm more hopeful as a Catholic than I've been in many years.
What's the connection that you draw between Jesus, and I'm assuming the death of Jesus, and the Holocaust?
Well, the simplest way to put it is the Christ killer charge. Down through the centuries, Jews were regarded as Christ killers, and that phrase was hurled at them as an insult. And that tradition, blaming the Jews for the murder of Jesus, when in fact the Romans murdered Jesus, not the Jews, and then when that became understood as the murder of God, the Jews were then accused of a cosmic crime for which there was no forgiveness possible. And all of that religious thinking was a kind of poison in the ground of the European and Western mind, so that when Hitler came on the scene, his perverse extension of this hatred laid it bare. It was Hitler and the Nazis who perpetrated the Holocaust, not the church, not Christianity, but they could not have done what they did without the anti-Judaism that had defined Christianity for centuries before, which is why even to this day Christians have to remove the last elements of anti-Jewishness from Christian thought. Not just the Christ killer charge then, but even the way the Gospels tell the story of Jesus, as if it's a story against the Jews, as if Jesus weren't a Jew himself.
Mm-hmm.
So this work of theology is not esoteric. It's not something that is of small importance to the world. In fact, nothing less than world peace going forward depends on the Christian reckoning with this history and the changes that it requires.
Do you believe the Catholic Church was complicit in the Holocaust, and do they need to do something to acknowledge and deal with that?
The Catholic Church, as an institution, was appalled by Adolf Hitler and hated everything he stood for. So I'm not at all saying that the Catholic Church was an ally of Hitler's. But I am saying that Christianity, including Protestant and Catholic denominations both, Christianity prepared the ground for Hitler. Hitler could not have done what he did. And the broad European and even American world would not have stood by passively while he did it, if it hadn't been for that centuries-long tradition that prepared people to think contemptuously of Jews and Judaism. So, yes, I'm saying that the Church has some very serious reckoning to do with this crime. Not to lay it off on the Church at all, but to face the Church with the truth that it could not have happened if the Church hadn't made it possible.
But what about in real time, when it was actually going on? Are you among
those?
Well,
when it was going on, the Catholic Church was silent as an institution. The Catholic Church had approved the anti-Jewish laws of the Italian fascist government and had not protested when the Nuremberg laws that defined the second-class citizenship of Jews were promulgated. The Catholic Church was silent in the face of one outrage after another. And Pope Pius XII was the pope who never explicitly and publicly condemned the anti-Semitism of the Nazis. He spoke indirectly and quite timidly, I would say. He hated Hitler. He was not an ally of Hitler's. But he was typical of the whole Christian world in standing by while the Holocaust unfolded. So that's a very serious failure, not just of Catholicism, but of Christianity. And we have to continue to complete the job of reckoning with it, which means continuing to understand how the Christian texts, the Gospels themselves, carry the seeds of anti-Judaism in the first place.
Let's go to Berrytown. Xenia, good morning.
I have a question for your guest that has been troubling me greatly.
All right.
And it has to do with immigration in the Muslim world versus immigration in the Christian world. And you see all the countries around Syria are taking in Syrian refugees and letting them work in their country, Lebanon and other countries around Syria. But looking at Europe and even more at the U.S., the agenda seems to be, how do we keep our riches for ourselves? How do we keep our jobs for ourselves? Deport these children. And it seems that the conservative southern area, which gets described as the Bible Belt, is the most virulently anti-immigrant, even though they make a great deal out of being the most Christian. And why are Christians so mean to immigrants fleeing horrible lives, and in contrast to the Muslims who are welcoming their brothers and sisters in religion? Please tell me.
Yeah, good question.
Well, you lift up a hugely important question today. In the Middle East now, there are millions of refugees, and you're absolutely right that the surrounding countries have received them with a kind of heroic generosity, I would say. Jordan has a million refugees from the wars in Iraq and Syria, something like that. Many refugees from the Palestinian territories. You're absolutely right. There's a kind of an astonishing disconnect when you consider in the United States and also in Europe the way in which we profoundly wealthy, well-established, powerful nations are so stingy when it comes to the desperate plights of so many impoverished people. And the story you point to of the very cruel actions on the southern border of the United States last fall are a case in point. Let me just lift up Pope Francis again. The first trip he took outside of Rome was to Lampedusa, an island in the Mediterranean, the southernmost point of Italy, therefore of Europe. And it was to that island that thousands of refugees fleeing wars, in, especially in the north of Africa, Libya, Sudan, that refugees risked their lives in flimsy boats to try and desperately to get to Europe, and they were drowning by the hundreds and thousands, and Europe had turned a blind eye to them. And the first place the Pope went was to Lampedusa, saying, we cannot ignore this, speaking to the world. We cannot ignore the plight of the poor. Vast populations of people in this planet now are refugees, economic refugees and climate refugees. And their situation is desperate. So the idea that the world can be divided between a small population of affluent, privileged people and a vast population of people at the mercy of starvation and homelessness simply won't hold. The future of the human species itself is at stake in our resolving this. So I welcome your lifting it up. And I think we all as a people, especially coming in on Thanksgiving week, which is a celebration of immigration, after all, the pilgrims who come to New England to be received by native peoples who are already here, received generously. That's the way the American story began. And it's a story that we need to have in mind now.
James Carroll is the author of Christ Actually. You wrote in this piece, James, you said, why is the culture of clerical immunity that unleashed a legion of priest rapists being protected instead of dismantled? It's still being protected?
The Catholic Church has yet to really reckon with the priest sex abuse scandal because the culture of clerical privilege was essential to it. It wasn't just that a small minority of priests raped children. That's the horrible, tragic truth. But it's also that the vast majority, almost the entire population of bishops in the church, protected the perpetrating priests instead of protecting the victimized children. What was that about? Why were the bishops protecting themselves? Why were the bishops hiding these priests, sending them on to other parishes where they could continue their crimes? They were protecting clerical privilege. And the structure of clerical privilege, which includes an all-male priesthood, forbidding women to be part of it, and it includes an extreme emphasis on celibacy, forbidding married people to be part of it, and it includes a kind of elevation of priests above other people in the church, forbidding lay people to actually have equal power in the church. These are elements of what I'm calling the clerical culture that has to be dismantled if the priest sex abuse scandal is fully reckoned with. And no, these things have not really begun to happen. And I think until Catholics insist that they happen, they won't. Pope Francis has given us an opening here. We're beginning to hear discussions about changes in basic attitudes toward sexuality, toward divorce and remarriage, toward homosexuality. And it's in these basic reconsiderations that the true reform, ultimately of the clerical state itself, must take place.
Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it very much.
Mark, it was my privilege. Thank you.
James Carroll is the author of Christ Actually, and the subtitle, The Son of God for the Secular Age. All right, Jeff, I'm sorry I had to let James go. He's got another interview coming up here shortly, but I'd love to hear your comment. Let's set up to Kirby. Jeff, how you doing this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
I have problems with the Bible itself, and I'm not a very religious man. I kind of don't believe in that. But, I mean, if you look at the Bible as a whole, there is, if you consider what anti-Semitism is, in Revelations it calls the synagogue of Satan. When Jesus is referring to the Pharisees, den of vipers, when he goes into the temple, I mean, there's a lot of anti-Semitism, and I was just wondering, and it's the Bible's definitely against homosexuality. There's a lot of verses in Dan and in Psalms, and it seems kind of funny unless you, at his state of mind, the Bible would be full of contradictions, you know, and if it's supposed to be this pure word of God, it seems to me that he's not using the Bible in the form that it was written. And I just think that it's very contradicting to him to actually say that when you can find a verse in any part of the Bible that's supposed to be the word of God that's against Jews. It's just, you know, it's against homosexuality. It's against bestiality. It's all in there, you know. It seems peculiar to me that he's trying to change the meaning of the Bible through his own...
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Because one of the areas that we didn't get into is that he's really doing this whole reexamination, really a historical reexamination of Jesus, and he's doing it really by using the Bible. And I don't know whether or not I'd go as far as saying that he's coming up with a different interpretation. Because interpretation has kind of a loaded meaning within that context. But I think if you took it out of that context, that's really what he's doing. So, you know, I think it's fair to say, I mean, he's using the readings and the works of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so, I think he might point to the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm not sure really how he would have answered that, because I think you make a fair point that if you're going to use that as your historical document, I mean, you got to deal with some of the other stuff that's in there too.
Mark, can I make a comment on the Gruber case thing?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I would like to put this in a scenario. What if this was a Republican that was caught talking, we got to trick the people into going to war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And this was coming to light, and they manipulated the American people into believing, on the same kind of context that Gruber was saying about the healthcare thing, and put it in another perspective, which was a Bush appointee caught on tape lying to get the American people to go on board with the war in Iraq. We know the war in Iraq was built on a false premise of weapons of mass destruction, but imagine somebody knowing that before they sold it to the American public, you know, just kind of the same thing that Gruber did. I think the liberal press would be going bananas, you know, and I think it's kind of the same kind of concept. I think people have to put in perspective, the government lies to you. I think you have to realize that, and you should be very apprehensive whenever they say anything to you. And I think it's a very travesty that you know, they're still trying to sell this to the American people or Vermonters, and they're going to take this guy into perspective that he has no trust. He should have zero trust in the realm of selling his health care plan to the Vermonters. And I think it's a tragedy that people are actually going to take this guy seriously.
So it sounds like you want to dump him now, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Because he has no credibility.
Yeah. Okay.
I think nobody would have faith in that guy.
I think that's a fair criticism. I mean, this guy has really, you know, reaped what he sowed here. He made comments that were just absolutely, you know, beyond the belief, outrageous. Now, there's some people that claim they were taken out of context. I've yet to see anybody really make that case. And I've yet to see anybody really make a case of how these comments could have been okay within their context. But, you know, I hear you. I mean, the guy's definitely damaged goods. I mean, talk about...
He's an MIT professor, you know. I think he should be held at a higher standard than just some accountant from Burlington, you know. Or he's got millions and millions of dollars in 11 different states. Vermont's not the only one that he's consulting.
Yeah.
He's consulting a lot more than just Vermont. And could I ask you to ask a question to somebody that knows this? I found out that through the Vermont, not Vermont Health Connect, but that the Affordable Care Act, that say that if Blue Cross Blue Shield deserves 7% of that's how much profit they're making off insurance policies, I heard that they can't go below that profit margin. So they'll never, I'm not sure if you know about this, so if they're receiving 7% off every policy that they have now as a profit margin, they will always get 7% profit. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but if that's a question that you could ask somebody that's in a...
All right.
Strength.
Okay.
That's not fair that it's like the insurance companies can't lose. It's like a win-win for them, you know?
Yeah, but I think the argument would be back that if they don't have some sort of a guaranteed rate of return that they could, I mean, remember Blue Cross Blue Shield was on the ropes, 10, 15 years ago, was in real trouble. You know, if they were to have financial difficulty, boy.
Yeah, but that's sometimes when you... When you lay with a dog, you get fleas. You know, sometimes you can't have a get out of. It's a risk that you're taking, and they're not taking a risk. They're always going to make that profit, which is I feel is unfair.
Yeah, but when there's one dog, you know,
and a lot of fleas,
and a lot of fleas. That's what is that us? You doing a Gruber here? You calling me a flea now? Yeah.
No, I'm just.
Yeah.
It seems kind of unfair, you know.
Yeah.
The government sleeping with the corporations.
All right, with the dogs, yeah.
With the fleas.
All right, thanks for your call, Jeff. I appreciate
it. All right, Mark, thanks.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. We'll get back to your calls right after this.
And former Governor Jim Douglas will be at the National Life Group this afternoon talking about his new book, The Vermont Way. The governor will also be signing copies of the book just in time for your holiday gift giving. The book will be there for sale. The event runs from 5 until 6:30 with the governor speaking at 5:30. That's at National Life in the main lobby starting today at 5 o'clock. Jim Douglas's memoir tells his life story and details his days in the Vermont legislature as Secretary of State and State Treasurer and governor. It details his 8 years as Vermont's governor, a Republican leading the nation's most Democratic state. That's this afternoon, a reception and book signing at National Life in Montpelier. The event starts at 5 with Jim Douglas speaking at 5:30.
There's not much you can do about Vermont's weather, but you can make sure your family's vehicle is safe and reliable. Give Auto Craftsman in Montpelier a call and schedule a free winterization service. We'll make sure all the lights are working, the wipers are clearing the windshield, the brakes are stopping the wheels, the tires are gripping the road, and the other parts of your car are working the way they're supposed to. Make an appointment in November and receive a free winterization service, and we'll take $10 off the labor of any service or repair. All you have to do is bring in a new unwrapped toy for our Toys for Tots collection box to receive this great special. For your convenience, Auto Craftsman has a shuttle service and five loaner cars. Call 223-2253 to make an appointment, or go to our website at autocraftsman.com.
Please join Fiore Bridal in Essex Junction on November 28th and 29th for a trunk show featuring the exquisite 2015 wedding gowns by Justin Alexander. Every bride who makes an appointment will receive a $100 gift card toward the purchase of her gown. Come visit their beautiful and romantic shop on November 28th and Small Business Saturday for a day filled with memories. Their beautiful shop, unique gowns, and dedicated consultants set Fiore apart from the others. Come see why so many say it's more than a boutique. It's an experience.
Let the magic begin at Vermont Enchanted Events, your New England-bound wedding planner. Come meet with owner Jackie Watson, whose work has been featured on local and national websites, blogs, and magazines. A member of the Vermont Association of Wedding Professionals, Vermont Enchanted prides themselves in telling your unique wedding story. You can reach Jackie at vtenchantedevents@gmail.com. VT Enchanted Events. It's our job to tell your story like a page turning in a great novel.
Vermont Community Loan Fund borrower and Vermont business owner Bob Light talks about the Vermont Community Loan Fund.
When my wife Lee and I wanted to expand our Hollister Hill Farm bed and breakfast and to expand our farm store, we looked around for a loan. Traditional lenders weren't interested in our business plan. Then we heard about the Vermont Community Loan Fund. The loan fund looks at lending differently. It isn't just about the bottom line. It's about building Vermont's future, Vermont's businesses, and jobs.
The Vermont Community Loan Fund is a mission-driven lender. We focus on people, not profits. We're lending money to Vermont's small businesses to help them succeed.
The loan fund really looked at the whole picture with us. They saw how we were an asset to Vermont. Now, we're growing and proud to contribute to what makes Vermont work.
If you're looking for a business loan, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, where we look at lending differently. Visit investinvermont.org.
I'm Deborah Wachtel, and I have been providing health care for Vermonters as a nurse practitioner for 28 years. The most frustrating barrier to my delivering effective and timely care is when insurance companies unnecessarily dictate how I must treat my patients. This also creates an administrative quagmire and adds huge costs to medical bills. That's why I support creating a universal, publicly funded health care system. It is better for patients, better for health care clinicians, and better for the state's economy.
Paid for by Vermont Leads, Montpelier, Vermont.
Looking for a new car or SUV? Then come into Cody Chevrolet Cadillac during Chevy's Black Friday sales event. Now through December 1st, lease a sporty new Chevy Cruze LT for just $159 per month for 36 months with just $1,500 due at signing. Or lease a Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for only $189 per month for 24 months with $1,000 due at signing. Tax, title, registration, extra. See us for details. So hurry in today during Chevy's Black Friday sales event. Another reason, Cody is why, Chevy's the buy. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Well, interesting story about Charlie Manson this morning. You hear this one? Charlie Manson is 80 years old. I think I would have given about a 50-50 that he was dead. But here's this bizarre story. He's apparently going to marry a 26-year-old woman who thinks that he's innocent, that he didn't do any of the murders. But here is the only relevant, interesting point in the entire story. He apparently would have been able to get married before, but had some, quote, situations in jail, in prison, where he had three violations. One was for possession of a weapon. How the heck does Charlie Manson get or fashion a weapon? Threatening staff and refusal to provide a urine sample. Wow. Charlie Manson, possession of a weapon. That's not two things you want to combine into the same sentence. Let's go to Barry. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. This is very timely because your last caller brought up a question that 7%, a guaranteed 7% profit. Now, I can tell you this from a little experience. Back in the 60s and 70s, I worked for what was then called banking and insurance. I was an insurance rate analyst.
Uh-huh.
And what it is they're allowed the 7%. Now, I'm saying this because I worked for fire and casualty insurance, and they were allowed 5%. They were allowed to make a 5% profit off your premium. Now, the insurance companies are required to submit all kinds of financial information, the same financial information they send to the IRS and the government, all kinds of government. And if they want to have a rate increase,
mm-hmm.
My job was to look at that and all that financial information to determine whether they were going to make in excess of the 5%. And if that would cause them to make in excess of the 5%, my answer was no, resubmit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go a little further. There is a possibility, and we had one company that wanted a rate decrease to be more competitive, and we said no, because at the time they were making about a 2% profit, and the decrease would bring them down to a loss, and our job in the government was to protect the policyholders.
Right.
We weren't there to protect the companies. We were to protect the policyholders. But if the company got themselves into financial trouble,
right.
They could go under, and the policyholders would be left holding the bag.
Yeah.
So the true answer is yes. In health insurance, I can't say 7% is what he said. That's probably true. But they're not there to guarantee it. The government, the state, is here to allow them to have that, but not allow them to make more than the 70%, but not allow them to get into financial difficulty.
Right. Right. Thank you for your call, Bill.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Speaking of insurance, let me take a moment to remind you about our good friends at Jamison Insurance. If you've in need of insurance, maybe you purchased a car recently, maybe you purchased a new home recently, maybe you purchased both of them together. You know, you get a new garage, you need a new car in there, right? You can call the folks at Jamison Insurance. They do outstanding work. It's a family-run business. They're right in your community. They're right down the street here in Waterbury, right up the road in Richmond, and right around the corner in Waitsfield. That's their main office there. Let me give you the phone number for that, 496-2080, 496-2080. They will do great work for you. They'd be happy to review the policies you currently have in place, whether as an individual or as a business person. If you own a business, you want to have John Jamison review your policies, he'd be happy to come to your place of business, even in the winter. Yeah, he's got some good snow tires. He'll find you. And he's happy to come to you. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you go to the mountain or the mountain comes to you. I guess in this case, John, it's Mount John at Mount John Jamison. So give him a call today and he'll be right on over if you make that appointment. 496-2080, 496-2080 is the number. And you can get a lot more information, too, online at jamisoninsurance.com.
Please join Fiore Bridal in Essex Junction on November 28th and 29th for a trunk show featuring the exquisite 2015 wedding gowns by Justin Alexander. Every bride who makes an appointment will receive a $100 gift card toward the purchase of her gown. Come visit their beautiful and romantic shop on November 28th and Small Business Saturday for a day filled with memories. Their beautiful shop, unique gowns, and dedicated consultants set Fiore apart from the others. Come see why so many say it's more than a boutique. It's an experience.
Unique weddings should have a unique photographer who's professional, graceful, and lighthearted. Your wedding can fly by in a blur, so make sure the details of your day are captured in a style that matches your wedding. Meet Kim on November 28th and 29th at the Justin Alexander Trunk Show, or visit kimmartinphoto.com and discover how they capture your special moments as they unfold, whether it's a stolen kiss, a falling tear, or a tender moment between guests, so you'll look upon your wedding album with great sentiment and joy. Tim Martin Photography. Weddings, portraits, and life moments.
Do you have water damage or soot damage? Call SR Services in Montpelier. They're the experts. Don't get discouraged if your home has been damaged by water from flooding or a leaky roof. SR Services has the equipment and expertise to restore the appearance of your home to like new again. They work on tile and grout floors, too. Gray grout lines will be white again thanks to SR Services. For water and smoke damage or professional carpet cleaning, call SR Services at 223-6577. SR Services, 407 Barry Street in Montpelier, 223-6577.
Grace and beauty, athleticism and daring. It's China's celebrated Golden Dragon Acrobats at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stowe, Friday, November 28th. Be amazed as the Golden Dragon Acrobats perform impossible contortions, spectacular juggling, daring aerial stunts, and spellbinding acrobatics. Celebrate Thanksgiving weekend with the family at the Golden Dragon Acrobats on Friday, November 28th. For tickets and information, visit sprucepeakarts.org.
244-1777 is our local number. You can also reach us toll-free at 877-291-8255. How do you start your day coffee-wise? Are you now drinking Vermont Coffee Company coffee? Have you been listening to me? If you haven't tried it yet, I would recommend that you do. I think you're going to be pretty happy with this product. It's really great, robust flavor in the dark roast. Nice, mild roast there, too, that for those of you who don't like your coffee, you know, that the point, like me, where spoon can stand up in the cup. Or you can also have some great decaffeinated coffee with great flavor from our friends at the Vermont Coffee Company. Here's something that I'd like you to keep in mind as we wend our way here towards the holidays. This is a great gift to give people. You know, there's nothing worse than when you give gifts to people that they don't use. The one nice thing about Vermont Coffee Company coffee, it's going to get used. And it's so easy to send to your friends and relatives out of town. You just go to their website. That is, spell it all out, VermontCoffeeCompany.com. And in a couple of clicks and a couple of numbers from your credit card, you will have that coffee on its way to its next location. So I very much encourage you as we get towards Christmas time here, and I know there's those people on your list, those annoying people that already have everything that you just can't figure out what to get them. This is a great idea. And then when you go and visit them, you can always enjoy some of the product, too. That's Vermont Coffee Company coffee. It is coffee roasted for friends. Another good idea, too, is just pick up a bag or two around the holidays here, because there's a pretty good likelihood that you might get invited to a party or two at somebody's house. Always nice to show up with a bag or two of the product. All right, we got some great guests that are going to be coming your way again later on this week. Looking forward to our discussions. We're going to have an interesting discussion, get back into this whole discussion about healthcare on Thursday. So tomorrow, we'll talk about it again tomorrow, but we have a guest tomorrow who is the ultimate, he's called the fluorescent guy. So I'm gonna leave you on that tease, and hope that you join us coming up at 9:05 tomorrow, and we'll find out what it's all about. All right, you'll find out what it's all about because I already know. Ha ha ha! All right, that's gonna wrap things up for today. Have a great rest of the day, and do come back and join us same time, same place tomorrow, would ya? Thanks for joining us. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, 101.9 in the Northeast Kingdom, and you can always find us on the flagship, AM 550 WDEV Waterbrand Montpelier. News is coming your way shortly.
AP Radio News.